I want to welcome each of you here this morning. It's good to be together. Seems like it's been a while, especially seemed like I'd realized how long it's been since we did anything here at church. And when I walked in and the pulpit was still up here in the corner from 2 weeks ago, so it's like, oh, I guess nothing's been happening here. So, we've been looking at Ephesians now for some time. Excuse me. And just for a refresher and a reminder, the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians talk about God blessing us with all the riches of heaven. And when you start thinking about that, that is so amazing. God has taken everything that He has and has given it for us. Then the second half, the last three chapters, talk about how do we walk this out. So, you know, if your daddy is really rich and he gives you all this stuff, then he's got some expectations of how you're going to take that stuff and what you're going to do with it. And you, as the heir of that, want to make your dad proud of you. And so Paul comes along and he says in chapter 4, brethren, I want you to walk worthy in a way that's going to make your father happy. He's going to be glad that he gave you all of that rather than wishing that he had not. And so today we come to the last section here that, and there is so much here in the book of Ephesians. I could spend years going through this book and breaking things down. I feel like I've just barely scratched the surface and flew by as we've looked at this, and that's the case again this morning. So I want to read Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. And he says here, finally, or in conclusion, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I want to just point out here that he says, in the Lord. And remember that phrase, in Christ, in Him, in whom, is over and over and over in the book of Ephesians. So he's not bringing up a new thought. That thought is constantly there in the riches that he's poured out to us. It's in Christ. And in the walk that we walk, that's in Christ as well. And so that's important. That's a key phrase in this book. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of that, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Thank you, Sam. I'm paying attention to who's coming up. Usually Sam does. Oh, by the way, somebody want to pass out the note papers? They're back there in the back. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, my beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your affairs, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you, with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. You mind turning on the fan up here, Brent? It's a little warm. Now, I just want to say something here. You might wonder about this picture. So I went looking for a picture of the armor of God, and I saw all kinds of pictures with knight-type armor. But as I thought about those, I thought, you know what? That's a little bit like David when he went to meet Goliath. And Saul said, here, put my armor on. And David put it on and he said, there's no way I can fight with this stuff. I can't even hardly walk with it on. You know, and how am I going to be able to fight? And he took it off and he used the armor that God had given him, and he was successful in battle. One of the things that you'll notice is here that we are talking about warfare. We're talking about wrestling. That's the term that's used. And so we have to be in a position that we're able to do that. And so that's kind of the story behind the picture there. I want to share also from my own experience that I know what it is to try to live the Christian life in my own strength. And if I were to ask you, I'm sure that most of you would raise your hands and say, yes, I've been there, I've done that. Maybe some of you are there now. You try so hard, and you say, I just can't. I can't. I try, and I just can't live the Christian life the way it needs to be lived and the way I'd like to live it. So this message is for all of us this morning, and I'm not pointing fingers in this message. If it sounds that way, you're hearing me wrong. I'm simply sharing what the Lord has laid on my heart, and it comes as a result of my understanding of what this looks like. So we want to ask ourselves some questions here, first of all. When we think about this, not happening here, Brent. Do you see yourself as equipped for the challenges of life? When you think about whatever you're facing or whatever is out there in front of you, maybe it's in the future, you don't even know it's there yet. Do you see yourself as equipped for those challenges? Or are you like, I don't know? I think that's an important question for us to ask. In your opinion, what single word would you use to best describe the Christian life? I'd like to hear from you.
Surrender.
Joy. a day at a time. Battle? Peace? Interesting. All interesting answers. We'll look at this some more as we go here this morning. What would you see as the best thing that you could possess to win at life? If you're looking at life, let's say you're 18 years old. You just turned 18. You're looking at life and you're saying, if I just had this, life would be a breeze. $1 million? What? Like to hear from you again. What would you see as the best thing you could possess to win at life?
Contentment.
Wisdom. So if you had all the wisdom of your dad and your grandpa, you'd be good to go, right? What'd you say, Mary? Oh, okay.
Grace?
Okay.
Jesus.
All interesting answers. We'll talk some more about that. What is the safest area of your life? And when I ask that question, I'm asking you that you have an area in your life where you do not feel threatened. When you're sleeping. I don't know, dreams can get pretty nasty sometimes, Sam. By the way, you got up in time this morning, didn't you? That's the inside joke. What's the most vulnerable place in your life? The most unsafe place? So you look at your life and you say, and I'm not asking you to answer this out loud. I want you to think about it. What's the most vulnerable place in your life? So we're gonna take all of this and we're gonna go through this passage here in Ephesians chapter 6, the last part. And we're gonna put this all together for us in a way that we can hopefully gain from it. Oop, wrong way. Okay. There's two passages of scripture here that I want us to just get put into our thinking here in relation to this passage. The first one is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power, notice that, according as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. So Peter, as one who had been with Jesus, as one who had been had the Holy Spirit reveal a number of things to him, including taking the message of the gospel to the Gentiles in our lesson this morning, he writes this. And he says, God, in His divine power. Now, what in that power, what is lacking? In God's divine power, what is lacking? Nothing. There is nothing lacking. So he's saying, out of that divine power, He has given to us. Now, if He's given it to us, what do we have to do to get it?
Receive it.
That's all. We don't do enough to get it. It's been given to us. Right? So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and He's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Here's what He's saying. When you come before God, don't even think of trying to tell God how well you've done, how smart you are, how what a blessing you are in life. Don't go there, okay? It's not a good plan. Who comes to your mind first thing when you think about that? Exactly. The Pharisee in the temple. Oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like everybody else. I do this and I do that and I don't do this and I don't do that. And God says, sorry, your prayer didn't get past the ceiling. You're in the wrong spot. But here is why that's all so important, okay, in the next verse. No flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are you. In other words, of God, you are in Christ. Who of God is made to us? God made Christ to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Okay, now we're going to see those come up in this passage here in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Okay, so he's saying God made Christ to be to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And that's kind of a summary of all the riches of heaven that God has poured out to us. That he described there in the first chapter, especially of Ephesians. Now, the key to strength for life struggles. So, I'm just kind of summarizing this first verse in my own words as I understand what he's saying there. So he's saying, in conclusion, In conclusion, in relation to our walk, here's how we need to walk. We need to be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of His ability. That's the thought of that verse. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, I'm guessing that many of us have looked at that in this way already. I am going to do my exercises, and every day I'm going to get a little stronger, I'm going to get a little stronger, I'm going to get a little stronger, and eventually I'll live in the Lord's strength. But I don't quite see that in there. He's talking about what we get in Christ, in the Lord, in His ability. So we need to keep this in mind, and I've mentioned this different times over the last while. We are not fighting, what Paul is talking to us here about is not that we are fighting for victory, we are fighting from victory. There's a big, big difference. Jesus Christ has already won the victory. As we are in Him, die in Him, resurrect in Him, live in Him, we have victory. If you think that you're going to be able to win the victory, just hang on here. We'll look at that. It's not happening. You cannot win the victory. Impossible. David and Goliath was a good example. David there. David went in the strength of the Lord. He told Goliath, he says, I come to you in the name of the Lord. That's the name that you're speaking against, but that's the name I'm coming to you in. Did he have armor on? Huh? Did David have armor on? Yeah, absolutely he did. Not physical armor. Not the kind of armor Saul was thinking of. David had armor on because he was coming in the name of the Lord, right? And so he was protected. He was directed, he was protected, and God used him in a mighty way. So God has provided all that we need to win in life. So he gives us this picture. Put on the whole armor of God. What is the picture that you get when you see that verse? Put on the whole armor of God. What's the picture that you get? Okay. The picture there is that he invites you into his storeroom, and here is the total armor, the complete, every part. And all you have to do is put it on. Right? Just put it on. He's tailored it for you. He's prepared it for you. It's all there. There's nothing lacking. It does not leave you vulnerable in any way. It does not leave you unprotected. It's all there. And as you put it on, you are protected. Why? Why are we protected as we put on the armor? It's the armor of God, right? Isn't that what he says? Put on the whole armor of God. Not the armor of Calvary Chapel, not the armor of my ability, not the armor of any other kind of thing. The armor of God that he has made for us and given to us, just like Peter said. Now, here's why. The struggle is bigger than any or all of us. We wrestle not. We're not fighting. We're not wrestling. We're not in a conflict with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, all of those things. And there's those that say this is talking about physical governments and all of this, but you can't look at the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians that are very much related and be honest and come up with that conclusion. Paul uses this term over and over and over in Ephesians. And chapter 3, verse 10 makes it very clear that his endeavor, God's endeavor is through the church to show to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. He says that specifically. It's there to show them that God has multitude, manifold wisdom, and it's in his wisdom that the battle is won. If you're struggling with what's going on in our world today, and you're struggling with this whole thing of God knowing what's going on, go back and read Psalm 2. That's always a really good passage to to just kind of, because it says there, the Lord's going to laugh. The Lord's going to have them in derision. They had all these plans. They had all these purposes. You know, it's kind of like a chess game. You know, the devil says, oh, and God says, no, no, no. And the devil says, oh, ho, ho. And God says, gotcha. It's done. It's over. Checkmate. You're finished. Right? And all those who are part of that system are included. But this is the thing we need to keep in mind. What we are fighting against is not against another denomination. It's not against other Christians. It's not against people in our own congregation. It's not against any of those things. What we're really fighting and wrestling against is against cosmic powers, spiritual powers, demonic powers that are in an intense effort to cast God to the ground. That's what we're fighting against. And that's why you and I are no match. Let me ask you something. If King Saul, in the condition that he was in when he tried to get David to put armor on, if he would have went out to meet Goliath at that time, what would have happened to King Saul? His head would have got fed to the birds, right? Just like Goliath's head did with David. Why? Because Saul didn't have on the armor of God. And Saul was not wrestling against principalities and powers in his mind. He was wrestling against a Philistine army. And this is why this whole thing is so big and so important. And this is why Paul is bringing it up to us. He wants us to stop and think. We are wrestling against something bigger than all of us put together across the whole world. If you took all the Christians across the world and we fight together as humans without the armor of God, we are not smart enough. We are not strong enough. We are not enough. But in the armor of God, we are enough. Even if we're only one small boy. Okay? Now, he uses this word stand or withstand four times here in this passage. Stand, 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 stand. Don't let the enemy push you around. Let me ask you something. What does the enemy use as his number one tool to win the battles against us? Lies. Deception. That's who he is. He's the father of lies. And so he is continually bringing lies against us. That's one of his wiles. And by the way, that word wiles has to do with missiles and spears and all of that kind of thing. So he's saying, look, we need to stand, stand, stand. How are we going to stand against the lies? Only if we have the armor on. If the armor isn't on, you're not going to stand. I'll just guarantee it right now. If you haven't put that armor on, you're not going to stand. So he starts out, first of all, very first thing, put the armor on. Put it on. Get all of it. It's there. It's all there. It's there for you. It's there for me. Put it on so we can stand. And he says then, having done all, to stand? What's the done all that we've done? Is it because we've kept a bunch of rules? Is it because we've read our Bible every day? Is it because we're... What is it that we've done all to stand? We've put the armor on. The whole armor. We've taken it, we've put it on. So we've done all. We're ready. And we'll be able to stand, okay? He says, and by the way, he goes and he repeats that. He says, take unto you the whole armor of God. So he says, put on the whole armor of God, because we're wrestling against all these demonic forces. And then he says, take unto you the whole armor of God. And the picture that I get there is the picture of David going out into the brook and finding five smooth stones. He's taking to him the armor of God. He's prepared. He's ready. He's ready not just for Goliath, but he's ready for his brothers as well. He is prepared because he's taken the armor of God. So first of all, he says we need to have our loins. Our loins is around our hips and our buttocks, that area of reproduction. We need truth to protect the reproduction of the faith. That's important. He says we need to take, God has given us that. He's given us that truth that protects as we share the gospel with others. He's given us that as a piece of our armor. And by the way, it's interesting that God is full of goodness and truth, is what he described himself to Moses in Exodus 34. He's given us righteousness to protect our heart. Out of the heart proceed all the things that proceed out of a man. Now, when God gave us truth to protect our loins and righteousness to protect our heart, whose truth and whose righteousness is it? Mine? No. It's his, right? He gave it to us. He just asked us to put it on. And we put it on in Christ. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So when his righteousness surrounds our heart is protected. There is nothing that Satan can bring against us to cause that our heart can be taken away from love for God. Our feet are prepared to carry the gospel of Christ, the gospel of peace, he calls it there. Peace with God, peace from God, peace with man, peace among men, all of that's included in that. But the picture here is of a readiness to go. He didn't get us those shoes for battle. He did not give us those shoes for battle so that we can sit down and enjoy looking at our shoes. Ah, I got some really nice shoes. I guess, oh, wow, I love these things. I don't want to get them dirty. I don't want to, I'm just going to sit here and look at them because they're so nice. Oh, I might even look at my breastplate, and some stuff like that. No, the picture is we're ready to go. We're ready to follow our commander. And then he says something to us very clearly. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, don't even think Don't even think about doing battle if you don't have your shield of faith. Why? What do we need that for? What does he say? What's the enemy using against us? Fiery darts. So, are you ready to go and face fiery darts? Not if you don't have your shield of faith. That shield of faith is able to take those fiery darts and quench them. They hit that shield of faith, they go, they're done. So we have that shield, and we have to have that shield of faith. It's the only thing that will extinguish the enemy's offensive thrust. Listen, those principalities and powers that he talks about there, they hate you because you belong to Christ. They hate you and you and you and you and me and all of us that claim to be Christians. And they are using whatever fiery darts they think will work against us to take us down. The shield of faith quenches those fiery darts. If you have a little struggle with that shield of faith, go read Hebrews chapter 11. Those were guys under the Old Testament. But they took the shield of faith and they conquered. They went against all the darts of the enemy and overcame them. Be certain that your mind is protected by salvation. The helmet of salvation. So important. Unless you and I enter into what God has given us in Christ, our mind is going to be just ripped around all over the place. Remember? The lies that Satan's bringing? That's what he's bringing. And he's there just continually trying to dump lies into our mind. And we need that helmet of salvation to protect our mind from those lies and distortions. That's where Eve went down. Has God said? And that's where Adam went down. It's more important to be with your wife than it is to be with God. Lies. Every one of us face lies. Probably daily. Maybe we don't recognize them. Maybe we don't deal with them properly, but I'm pretty certain that I'm correct in saying this, that every one of us face lies on a daily basis. We've got to have the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation if those lies are going to be defeated. We have to be prepared to deal death blows to the enemy. We need to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I want you to think about how this works. Jesus gives us a beautiful, beautiful example of this in his temptation. There in the wilderness, you know, the devil takes him and he takes him up to the temple and takes him to a high mountain and all of these things. And when he came to him with each of these temptations, what did Jesus do? With the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Satan tried to take the Word of God and use it as a lie. Jesus knew how to use it because it was part of his armor. It was part of who he was. And he was able to deal the enemy a death blow. And that's a picture for you and I. When he comes at us, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Devil, take this! Speak the Word. Speak the Word. Speak it out loud. When the enemy comes against you, speak the Word out loud. It's a powerful, powerful weapon. I've heard story after story about people who were in very difficult circumstances. And they just spoke the name of Jesus out loud. And it changed the whole situation. It brought them protection. Now, I'm not saying that if we say the name of Jesus, nothing bad is going to happen to us. Don't misunderstand me. But to speak the word gives us victory. Always stay connected to the commander. Praying. What is prayer? Just a bunch of words we say? No. Prayer is connecting to the commander. You know, it's just, prayer is exactly like a soldier having his radio. And, you know, he's in a situation, he doesn't know what to do, and he talks to the commander, and the commander says, do this, do this. Because the commander sees a bigger picture. And so the soldier is constantly checking with his commander. What do I need to do? And that's exactly what we see Jesus doing all of his life. He'd spend all day healing, doing miracles, whatever. And that night he'd go and pray. He'd talk to the Father. He'd get his instructions from the commander. I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. Prayer, the main purpose of prayer, is for us to come in agreement with God and his will. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's agreement. We're checking with the commander. We're getting our instructions. We're getting our directions. And we're knowing how we can best face the enemy. What we can do to be victorious. So this thing of prayer is so important. We need to be alert. We need to be attentive. We need to be ready. We need to watch each other's back. We're not just, you know, when you're out there on the battlefield, you're not just one guy by yourself. You're there as a unit. And so if your buddy gets wounded, you go get him out. You don't think about your own life. You go help him. This is all part of this. Read that there in relation to prayer. The last point that I have here, and it's such an important point, because this whole thing is about boldness. And you read the last part there, and Paul says this. He says, pray for me that I may be bold to speak the gospel in my bonds. Pray for Paul to be bold? Really? I mean, this guy, he's crazy. He talks about Jesus everywhere he goes. It doesn't matter if it's the king. It doesn't matter if it's the guy that's able to put him to death. It doesn't matter, but he's bold. But here he is. He's saying, you know what? We are facing a tremendous battle against all the forces of hell. Pray for me that I can be bold to speak the gospel. Pray for others that they can have boldness to speak the gospel. And that goes back again to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, where he says that God is using the church to reveal to the principalities and powers in heavenly places the manifold wisdom of God. Does it make sense for a Pakistani living here in the United States in ease and comfort to choose to go back to Pakistan, where they're probably going to die? They'll at least get treated horribly. Does it make sense for them to go back over there? Not to a fleshly mind. Not to somebody that's not in the battle. But if we're doing battle against the principalities and the powers in heavenly places, then it makes total sense. Can they kill the body? Probably. But they cannot stop the boldness that declares the message of salvation. They can't stop that. So the message of all of this is this whole thing of boldness. Encourage each other to boldness. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's an encouragement from Paul to us. That's an encouragement from us to each other. That's an encouragement that needs to be passing through the ranks of all those involved in fighting in God's army. Be bold. Do exploits. You remember when Jonathan and his armor bearer were sitting there one day and they said, "What are we sitting here for?" Jonathan said, "I'm going to go up and maybe the Lord will give us some of these Philistines." His armor bearer said, "I'm with you, man." And they went up there, and it was in this tight pass in the mountains where they really didn't have a chance. But they went up there, and the Lord gave them a big, big victory that day. That's doing exploits. Going forth in the name of the Lord. Maybe He'll give us this city. Maybe He'll give us this town. I remember hearing about a man, I believe it was in Syria or Lebanon, one of those countries, that had a message from a village. "Come, we want to hear about the gospel." And between him and the village were the rebels. And so he and his wife got down on the floor and prayed. His wife laid hands on him and blessed him in the name of the Lord. And he got in his car and he drove as fast as he could go. And he could hear the bullets as he went through the rebel territory. He came to the village and he shared the gospel, and that family believed that day. And then he had them pray for him. He turned around and the same thing happened going home. And the next week, he did the same thing. And the next week, he did the same thing. And in a few weeks, that village of 300 families had come to the Lord. He put on the whole armor of God and did exploits. Pray for boldness. And I've been impressed over and over again. I've come across this. When you ask these men and women who are laying down their lives in these dangerous places in the Middle East and so on, you ask them, "How can we pray for you?" What do you think they ask to be prayed for, to be prayed over them? What do you think they ask for? Protection? No. They've got the protection. They've got the armor. They say, pray for boldness for us, that we can speak the gospel. You see, the purpose of this armor is not so we can enjoy it. We can sit there and polish the shoes and polish the breastplate and walk around and everybody can see how bright our armor is. No. The purpose of the armor is to do exploits for the one that gave us the armor. Amen? Let's stand together.